I don't know about you, but why do I want a whole truckload of responsibility? Amen. But there's the grace of God that comes to us in a measure. And I told you that we unwrap the grace of God by faith. How does that work? Well, God leads us along, doesn't he? And he gives us his blessings and the callings of God. And as we step out in response to the Lord's leading, grace meets us on the life's journey. Amen. It's his enabling power all along the way. And I'm here today because, you know, God had to bring me here. He couldn't just go boof with his magic wand and bring me to this place. We have to learn our lessons, and we have to achieve grace and be willing to step out when the Lord asks us to, and we've received grace on our journey. And most people, you know, they can spend a huge amount of their emotional energy trying to fit the pieces of their life together. And you know what happens is that we end up frustrating ourselves and injuring other people and trying to do things in our own strength. And if that happened to Moses, then I have to be careful. And it did happen to Moses. It happened to Paul, too. Paul was the smartest man on the planet, and he went around persecuting the church. And without Jesus, he was dumber than a stick. That's a good analogy, right? And but how we need Jesus. And so let's just look at Moses for an example about frustrating himself and injuring others from Exodus 2:13 and 14. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Amen. So Moses was feeling a calling on his life to set the captives free, to set the slaves free in Egypt. And he went out and made a mess of things in his own strength. And the next time we see Moses, this is in chapter 3, 40 years later. And God said to Moses, come now, I'll send you down to Egypt to set the captives free. What? That's what you were doing the first time, right? You took things into your own hands, but this time I'm going with you. This is my timing. This is God's timing in doing things, and how important his timing is. And so the Lord's timing kicked in 40 years later. That's a long wait. Amen. But Moses didn't have much say in the matter. And in the same chapter, Moses responds to the Lord in verse 11 about what he thinks of all this. And he said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so first time Moses was a little too excited, I guess, about it, taking things into his own hands. And then the next time, you know, Moses began to look for an avenue out of the will of God. Moses began to look for a door with an exit sign on it. I want out of here. Amen. And he was looking for a plan less risky outside of the will of God. Amen. Sometimes, you know, the blessings of God, they scare you a little before they bless you. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I think for many Christians, we've all had that experience. So Moses wanted to run, and he was in a circumstance that he couldn't control. It was out of his control. Hallelujah. But it's never out of God's control. It's always in God's control. And he's on our side. He's not against us. He's not working against us. He's working for us. Even the captain of the Lord's army is on our side. Hallelujah. Whew, I'm glad to hear that. And so Moses' desire, you know, at this time was to exit. I want out of here. I want out of the will of God. maybe, you know, the gifts and callings of God aren't as scary as the wrappings that they come wrapped in sometimes. And sometimes the gift and callings of God come wrapped in anxiety and stress, even chaos. Amen. Is that possible? I think so. Yeah, because I've seen it. I felt it. I've been there. And so fear can make you turn away from something that God wants to use to bless you. I wonder if everyone would humor me and say that with me. Fear can make me turn away from something God wants to use to bless me. Are you willing to say that? Praise God. And so following the Lord sometimes is, it's a little scary, but and if I just want another blessing of mine from the last Bible study we had downstairs came from 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, and I want to read these to you about the gifts of God. And it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that he might that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, Paul said, I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Amen. Now, first thing I want to say is, relax. This was a gift sent from God, but it wasn't a gift sent to your average Christian. It's not a gift sent to your average going to church on Sunday family. This was a gift given to an apostle. He was a veteran apostle, and the scriptures now are letting us see, giving us a glimpse of how God is working with this seasoned veteran. You know, you've heard the scripture. People quote it to me all the time. To whom much is given, much is required. Yeah. The bigger the gift, the more the responsibility. Amen. The more grace you're going to need. Hallelujah. So here was a gift that was designated to Paul, and it was wrapped in rough packaging. Any, would you agree with that? Amen. It was a gift for a seasoned apostle, and we get to see how God's working with a seasoned apostle, a mature apostle. Amen. He wasn't a beginner, but this gift was for a veteran. And I wrote down in my Bible, beside these verses, over on this page, I wrote a secret passageway to higher ground. It was a secret passageway to higher ground for the Apostle Paul. God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. Whew. And thanks a lot. I thought you're on my side. I thought I was on your side. And he is. He's on your side. Listen. And this was for Paul, and it was a gift of God. It was a gift that would bring Paul his greater blessings than he's ever known in his life, and has ever known in his walk with God. This blessing would bring him greater revelation than he ever knew. This blessing would bring him into an intimacy with God higher than he had ever known before, an intimacy with God, knowing God. And so what looked like, we might not explain it as a gift, but for Paul, it lifted him up into the very bosom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. These blessings came to Paul, but the grace of God came to him as well. The grace of God. And now Paul's saying, not only will I enjoy these blessings, but he said, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power, that the power, hallelujah, of Christ may rest upon me. Something was going on behind the scenes. And if we look with our natural eyes, it doesn't look like anything we'd want, but there was more going on than what we could see. And if you only look with what you can see, you know, you're blinded to what God is accomplishing. Hallelujah. So Paul was being brought into a higher ground. He was being brought into a greater blessing than he had ever known before. And a measure of grace was given to him, probably a greater measure than any of us may know. Most of us would look for an avenue with an exit sign saying, get me out of here quietly. Help me find a less risky avenue outside of the will of God. Amen. So I don't have to, amen, endure this thorn in my flesh. But God was bringing a blessing to Paul, the apostle. Amen. And if he would have refused the gift, he would have turned away from something that God brought into his life to bring him a blessing. Hallelujah. You know, and we never want to turn away from the things that God brings into our life to bless us. You know what happened to Joseph and Mary, right? Joseph heard Mary was pregnant. God chose Joseph to raise his boy, to raise his son. Joseph said, I want out of here. Where's the door with the exit? I want out. Praise God. And sometimes we can run from the things that God sends to bless us. Now, David wrote something that ministers to me from Psalm 23:5. He said this, the Lord has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. In other words, David was saying, the Lord has a plan and a purpose for my life. Amen. God has prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so, how many believe that verse is for you? I mean, that's for me, that verse. I believe that God has a plan. God has a purpose in my life. God has prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I want to tell you, God doesn't use paper plates. He doesn't use plastic utensils. And he knows how to set a table. You know, let's look at Jacob for 1 second. He was in the place God told him to be, in Cana, doing the things God told him to do, and a great famine came upon the land. And he had to send his boys down to Egypt to get some food. And what no one recognized is God was setting a table. God was setting his table for the next move of God. No one recognized it. Hallelujah. And the same thing happened at the burning bush with Moses. Moses was afraid. He was looking for an exit. He was looking for a doorway. Amen, out of here. And he didn't realize God is setting the table. God was setting the table before him. Hallelujah. And he is preparing the table in the presence of his enemies. And God had a great plan. And if we truly believe and let the word of God take hold of us, if we truly believe, listen, the Lord has set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I truly believe that. I'm given to that. Hallelujah. And I think it's the same for each one of us. And maybe a different gift, maybe a different blessings, maybe different grace, maybe a different pathway. But God has set a table before you in the presence of your enemies, and he's anointed your head with oil, and your cup's going to run over. And if that's true, then I can be still and know that he's God. Hallelujah. I can be like Jack Chow. I can relax. I can be calm. I can be quiet. And I can let the Lord work out his plans and purposes in the midst of my anxiety and my storm. Hallelujah. God has set a table before you, family. Amen. He has set a table before you. And today, no matter what we're going through, yeah, we can be still and know that he's God. Still and know that he's on the throne. And so, Lord, we want to thank you today for this word of encouragement that you are in charge. You are in control over every circumstance, over every situation. We thank you for the peace of God that fills our soul with rest. And the more dependent on you we are, the more dependent we find, hallelujah, that you are. The more we depend on you, the more dependent we find you are. And so, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would comfort every heart here that's in a struggle, in a trial, trusting in you, and circumstances don't look good, but we don't have to look at them because we know that you're setting a table, you're doing something, and our faith is in you. And so we ask you to encourage each one and help us, lift us, and help us to lay hold and absorb the word of God that says you've prepared a table before us, and we can rest in you no matter what's going on. And we'll give you the glory, honor, and praises in Jesus' name. Amen.